It's Jerry Pippin, and we are broadcasting from Roswell with the UFO Files, and we have Paul Davids here, and you were actually involved with the movie Roswell. It doesn't seem that far back, 10 years ago.
That's right. It was a Showtime film, an original film for cable television that we finally got off the ground in 1993. And I was the executive producer, I was co-writer. And this is the film that stars Kyle MacLachlan and Martin Sheen, and it was one of Dwight Yoakam's first movie roles.
Now, interestingly enough, did you know a lot about Roswell before this project?
I sure did. I got my indoctrination from the authors Kevin Randall and Don Schmidt.
I know Kevin.
And Don Schmidt. They worked on a book together called UFO Crash at Roswell. Mm-hmm. And while they were researching it, I was their chauffeur through the Southwest as we were hunting up some of the old witnesses. They were doing interviews, and I was getting my indoctrination to the Roswell case.
So in other words, you got hooked, to make a long story short.
I got hooked shortly after a UFO sighting I had in 1987.
Aha. Was that in New Mexico or someplace else?
It was from my home in Highland Park, Los Angeles, which is near South Pasadena.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Broad daylight sighting, and with my two kids, one thing led to another, and by that summer I was steeped in about 300 UFO books, gobbling them down at about 5 to 10 a day.
Now the UFO sighting that you had as a kid,
not as a kid.
Oh, okay.
No, it was in 1987.
Okay.
It was with my two kids.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, what actually happened there?
There was a silver dome disc that approached our house, coming out of a very high a cumulus cloud. My daughter saw it first and screamed to me to come running. Daddy, I see a flying saucer. I knew for a fact that there were no flying saucers then.
You were convinced.
I had been a lifelong skeptic, and I didn't want to be interrupted, and I asked her to take another look at it because surely it was a Goodyear blimp. No, Daddy, it's not a Goodyear blimp. It's a flying saucer. Get up here, she screamed. And I ran up the stairs. My son came into her room. She pointed out her window where she was looking, and I haven't been the same ever since. Not the same person ever since.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people have sightings. They have it's life-altering a lot of times. Here you ended up producing a movie.
You know, yes, and I went about it like a sort of a personal mission that I was not going to fail, and I passed the test. It took me about 4 years to get it made. We had a budget of around $6 million, which for a cable television movie was really good in those days.
Yes, it was.
And, I failed many times in my efforts before I succeeded. We were turned down by every studio, every network, every production company in Hollywood. I have a big stack of rejection letters that explain why the movie should never be made, why no one would ever be interested in Roswell, and what was Roswell? No one had ever heard of it. How could you call a movie something that nobody understood? And people were so skeptical, they didn't believe it had happened, because if it had happened, they would have heard of it, so they wouldn't make the movie, until we got lucky.
And then the rest, as they say, is history.
The rest is history. I mean, I get a lot of kudos from people at the museum and others in Roswell who thank me for the contribution to their town.
What kind of reaction did you have beforehand? I guess they weren't really aware you were trying to make this movie.
Well, they were, because we enlisted the help of everyone we could find here in Roswell. A lot of them signed releases for us because we had actors playing the roles of people who were still alive here who had served in the military at that time. So there was a lot of cooperation. They were disappointed that we didn't shoot it here in Roswell. In fact, we were sort of forced by Showtime to shoot it in the next state over, as a matter of fact.
In Arizona.
We shot in Arizona and found doubles for, the ranch. Some of it, actually, we shot in Los Angeles at the Van Nuys Airport, which is a World War II era airport, which we were able to use for the Roswell Army Airfield Air Base here.
That's an interesting aside there, that you'd shoot some of that in Van Nuys, but that's the way movies are made.
Well, you know,
You got to go where the I guess the most economical.
you work it all out for, you know, for reasons of cost, but the point was we had a wonderful premiere here at Roswell. We even showed it at the military academy here. And it's been shown by the Navy aboard their ships.
Did you have the world premiere in Roswell? Or, it was on television, actually, so that's
Yes,
the
but
problem.
we screened it here in Roswell before it
Yeah,
was ever on
right.
TV.
And how were the residents here reacting to it?
You know, basically, we've gotten tremendous support for the movie, you can still find it today. It's out there on DVD, by the
Yes.
way. And look for the one. Look for the cast. Look for Kyle MacLachlan and Martin Sheen, not to be confused with that television series called Roswell.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up next segment, but we don't have to, but we do have to take a break. This is Jerry Pippin. Our guest is Paul Davids. Yeah, okay, yeah, that one. This is Jerry Pippin. We're in Roswell, and we have Paul Davids with us, a man who put Roswell on the map, figuratively. I mean, you really did. People, like you're saying, that people had never heard about it. When you were first being the driver for Kevin and Don Schmidt, what were your thoughts then as now? I mean, you obviously had probably a change of attitude, or maybe you haven't. Maybe you figured pretty much the same thing all along.
Well, obviously, it was a strong belief in the case that drove me to have the kind of dedication to get the film made. We've learned a lot since their book was written about 10 or 11 years ago. And, you know, unfortunately, a few of the witnesses that were relied upon at one time or another, we don't put the same stock in now that we did then. And there's been this massive official effort to debunk and bury the Roswell case and explain it away in conventional terms. So I'm contradicting the official position of the entire United States Air Force. However, I'm not alone. I'm proud to say that astronaut Edgar Mitchell, one of the 12 men who walked on the moon, confirmed the other night in a lecture here in Roswell that he had a very high-level private briefing, which confirmed for him that Roswell was an instance of the crash of an extraterrestrial spacecraft and bodies were recovered. Heard the same thing from astronaut Gordon Cooper. We heard it years ago from Republican presidential candidate and Senator Barry Goldwater, and so many others. So, do I believe the official story? Not on your life.
And today, it's amazing. We still find new things coming out about this case. For instance, this computer enhancement of the general's reading the memo, you know.
General Ramey, there's a photograph taken in 1947 in General Ramey's office where he was holding a telegram in his hand. And there's been this massive effort to enhance it digitally to try to read the words and pick out what's on there. And you can't read every word, but you can read enough to see that it's suggesting things about there being two crash sites and a cover-up and the use of a weather balloon as an explanation. Of course, we knew from Colonel Thomas Jefferson Dubose. He was the adjutant to General Ramey in Fort Worth in the military at that time. We've known for a long time that that weather balloon story was a cover-up. But during the Clinton administration, the Air Force tried to replace that version of the story with a version that said, well, no, it was a secret balloon experiment at that time called Project Mogul, a train of balloons and radar targets, and you know, that's fine. They were sending those things up then, but it doesn't match the testimony of so many of the military people who have sworn that what was recovered didn't come from this planet. Now, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the bodies myself, but I think there's the testimony of a lot of honorable men at stake in this fight.
Now, when you made this, actually, you wrote the movie probably in 02 or 01. You had an idea. You said it took a little while to put it together.
Yes, we had a long struggle with the writing. I mean, I personally wrote four drafts of the script before we ever sold it, and then sold it first to HBO, and they wanted to start the writing again. We rewrote the story. Director Jeremy Kagan worked with me, and then playwright Arthur Kopit, I'm proud to say, was brought in to work first on the story and then on the final version of the television script. And he's one of America's greatest playwrights, and I credit Arthur with the fact that this thing is so good, that it works, that this is a film that is alive for people now and not dated at all 10 years after it came out.
And as you say, it is available on DVD right now, and it's not the TV show, folks. We're talking about the movie.
Yes, it's a movie. It's called Roswell. Some of the boxes say Roswell, the UFO cover-up. But Artisan came out with it. It's in a black box. It has an alien face on it. And it is a dramatization told from the point of view of Major Jesse Marcel, the intelligence officer who went out to the Brazel Ranch, who first saw this debris that he couldn't explain. And we portray him through Kyle MacLachlan as an older military man going back to his base at a reunion 30 years after the fact, as he's trying to collect from his old buddies, his old Army buddies, the evidence, the pieces of everybody's little part of the story to see how it all fits together.
Well, I know you are talking to a friend of ours about TV series, maybe, based on a magazine. I don't know if we mentioned that yet or not.
Well, it hasn't been officially announced, so let's keep it as a secret. We'll announce it soon.
Okay, fine. So you are not only enjoying the festivities in Roswell, but you're doing a little business while you're here. That's the way you Hollywood people work. I know.
The work never stops, you know, and we enjoy it that way.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure meeting you, and the movie is great, and thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye. This is Jerry Pippin. Our show is up for today. We've had a very interesting program from Roswell. The producer's been Roberta Scott. I'm Jerry Pippin. Until next time, cheers.